wrong. There's one day here and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand. Sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. One of my favorite people who I've never met is on the phone. We want to say hello to Israel Haas. He is the executive director of, and it's a big, long title, so I'm going to say it slow, the Great River Road Visitor and Learning Center at Freedom Park in Prescott. And Israel, we always love to get caught up with you and hear what's going on. How have you been?
Oh, it's been great. It's been a busy, fun-filled summer. We've had a lot of activity here, including in some previous conversations. We've talked a little bit about the new designation, the All-American Road designation. We had a party with a bunch of folks here.
Let's talk about that again. I think it definitely needs to be said again because it's really a cool designation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there was new funding opened up for these designations in a very competitive grant, well, I guess award process. We are the only All-American Road in the state of Wisconsin.
What?
And this
That's
is a
huge.
Really special designation. So not only are we at Freedom Park, the gateway, the northern gateway to the Wisconsin Great River Road, but we're now the northern gateway to Wisconsin's only All-American Road, which is a super special designation.
Well, congratulations. Is that something that you were just identified as, or did people have to apply for it? How did that come about?
Yeah, so we are, I'm on the Mississippi River Parkway Commission as well, the Wisconsin Great River Road. And so this was an application that was submitted by some leaders within the Mississippi River Parkway Commission last year. And Freedom Park was a really important part of that in telling the story of why this is such an important road, the history of Prescott and the significance of the Confluence region was a really critical piece in making a compelling case for this piece of highway to get designated in that special way. So the award was announced a couple months ago, and then we were also part of a kind of a road show where leaders with the Mississippi River Parkway Commission and the Wisconsin Great River Road, and of course now All American Road, started up here and then moved down along eight different locations to highlight some of the other visitor centers and cities along the way that are a critical part of making that All-American Road status a reality.
Well, let's talk about what the qualifications for that actually are, please, and what you think distinguished this piece of Wisconsin as getting this nice honor.
Yeah, no, it's a detailed process, so we'll keep it really high level, but we need to be able to show scenic significance, historical significance, tourism significance. We need to be able to show that people actually come here exclusively to drive the great, you know, drive this road, and that people from all over the United States are doing that and have done that for some time. And so, of course, we here at the Great River Road Visitor and Learning Center know this because we're visited by 16,000 people a year in a normal year from every state and 53 countries and counting. So we know what an attraction this particular road is. Just making that case for it, that was the critical piece.
That must be really exciting and interesting for you to meet a lot of these visitors that are coming through, especially people from other countries.
Oh my gosh, yes. I know some of our favorite stories that I love to tell. Well, there are too many of them, but we had a gentleman from China visit. This was before COVID shut down most of the travel, but I had a gentleman from China visit, and he was telling me that he travels here to the United States every year And his favorite place to visit is the Great River Road. He loves to come to the Midwest and the Mississippi River. He just thinks it's the most beautiful place in America. That was pretty interesting.
Boy, isn't that something.
We also had a gentleman from the country of Israel. He was on business in Louisiana, decided to travel the Mississippi, since it's such a significant river in the world, and ended up here at the visitor center, and was with a volunteer who called for Israel, and he said, "There's an Israel working here? I'm from Israel." So you never know, you know, it's kind of fun sometimes, the connections that we make.
Well, I know that you just had a big party in the park to celebrate all the good things going on. Tell us about that.
Oh, it was fantastic. And you know what was maybe one of the most fun parts for me was researching our history. I've only been here as executive director for a little less than 2 years. And so I don't have the history that some of my leaders have. So I was researching this. This is our 15th anniversary that we're celebrating this year. And so I was going back to the annals, seeing, reading old newspaper clippings, finding old photos, talking to people about the past. And it was just so fun. And we had perfect weather for our party. We called it the Party in the Park Sunset Soiree. It was perfect weather. It had been in the upper 90s for the couple days before and dropped to the 70s for, I think, just for us. Fortune was smiling on us, and it was a fantastic party, free event for families, kids throwing around bean bags and running around the park and eating free food, and it was fantastic.
You know, going back 15 years ago, can you refresh everybody's mind about what the center what hoped to be and, you know, how it's evolved over the years, please?
Absolutely, yeah. Of course, I'm on the phone in my office at the visitor center right now, and I'm standing on land that has been a gathering place for thousands and thousands of years for indigenous people who saw the importance of this place and even saw it as sacred. And so, of course, as we celebrate 15 years, we recognize that that people have been celebrating this place for much longer than that, including the Dakota who were here before us. But in 1928, this piece of property became a park. Some citizens purchased some land from a private owner and turned it into a park. It became Tourist Park, and then in 1982 became Freedom Park when the eagle Freedom was as a rehabilitated eagle that was pretty famous, taken all over the United States, and partook in some really significant ceremonies, including the welcoming back of hostages taken in an Iranian conflict back in 1982. And so this park was named in 1982, but then became the Great River Road Visitor and Learning Center. A building was constructed and the park refurbished in 2005 and 2006. 2006 was when the grand opening was, and it's just fantastic. One of the coolest parts, Mo, of celebrating 15 years here is we were able to tie some of the stories together. So Mike Hunter, who was the mayor at the time and was critical in helping complete the funding and establish this special space here, he shared some comments, and it's really neat. When he was sharing about his experience with the park, he actually started getting choked up. The park means so much to him and is so closely connected to him, and he's not alone. We had several other folks who were founding leaders share, including Grant Nelson and Maureen Otwell and Jim Sheely, who's still on our board of directors. And I have to make sure I mention this too. I know I'm blabbing a lot here, but one of the really meaningful things for me was being able to serve on the preparation and planning committee with Chris Sampson. And Chris Sampson chaired our Sunset Soiree Committee. She is a past board member, and was the one who first organized a fundraiser for Freedom Park before the Great River Road Visitor and Learning Center was ever constructed. So she organized the first party and organized our 15th anniversary party with a lot of help from Donna Boatman. And so it's kind of fun to see all of those connections and how significant this place has become for so many people in the area.
Israel, what brought you to Prescott?
That was a lifetime ago. I came to Prescott actually originally to start a church here in Prescott. And then my life went in a little bit different direction. And so I've been here in Prescott since 2011. And have raised my family here and live very close to here, and am really committed to investing my life in as many ways as I can into our local community in this special place.
I bet it's been fun for, you mentioned the former mayor, Mike, to come back and see really all the changes and what the center has become. Did he speak on that?
He did. He talked a little bit about that, and so did Grant Nelson, who was one of our founding members of the board of directors. And just to see how much work went into this. And the Great River Road Visitor and Learning Center likely would not have existed. There was some very vocal opposition to it at the beginning, but some very visionary, committed, tough, leather-backed individuals saw what could be and persisted with tact and generosity, and here we are.
So for somebody that hasn't been there before, what can you say about the center? How would you describe it?
Gosh, I think the visitor center is just this beautiful place perched on a globally rare bluff prairie. Best place to watch the sunset, so come on down and watch the sunset if you're in the area. And see what we're doing with restoring the bluff prairie that used to be here. The building carries the stories of our past, of how we got here from the logging days and the indigenous peoples who were critically part of what this has become.
Let's talk a little bit about the restoration. This is when we can talk about goats.
Yeah.
I know that's an important part, but where do you stand? That's just one little piece of this long-term project.
It's true. So the goats are back, but they're only in our gift shop. I'm holding one right now in my office.
Is this true?
They're really cute, and they're really soft, and they're really fluffy, and we have a couple of different varieties that kids can pick up.
I understand.
Or grandparents for their grandkids. But the goats were absolutely fantastic, and they did such great work this year. We have determined that it's going to be best for us not to bring them back this fall, because what they exposed was how much work we need to do in growing grass. There were so many leafy, woody plants like sumac and black locust and buckthorn that was crowding out any of the grassy growth and the native grassy plants and flowers that would normally grow on this bluff. They got all crowded out by a canopy, a thick canopy of leaves. And the goats came in, ate all that. We saw we have to do a lot of work right now on growing grass and other things that can burn so that we can activate some of that native seed that might be in the soil. So that's, unfortunately, we won't be able to see the goats again this fall. We can dream of them, and we can get the, remember them by our little mementos in the gift shop. But unfortunately, we're going to have to start doing some human-based work now.
So does that change the long-term timing of this?
It could. We're still evaluating exactly what this is, what the implications are for the prairie restoration. We've started recalibrating, and I'll try not to bore our listeners too much here, but we're going to be focusing on instead of on the entire bluff, we're going to be focusing our efforts on a little spot where, underneath our amphitheater, that has the most growth potential. We're hoping to get to a burn next spring. If possible, we've seeded that and are growing as much grass stuff. We seeded it with a cover crop that's not native plants, but it's just oats and rye, so that we can get enough material to burn. Then we're going to be planting. Just had some volunteers here yesterday to start planting a new, I'm calling it our goat prairie garden, that's going to be on top of the bluff, and we're going to use that strategically to start pushing plants down the bluff in a couple of key areas. And then the goats are going to be a regular piece of our long-term management plan. They do work that nobody can do. And so they will be a critical part of how we maintain and restore this bluff in the years to come.
And can you remind people about the historical significance of the piece of property you're on?
Yes, absolutely. So this, in terms of the ecological history, was oak savanna. So it used to be a lot of grasses and some big oaks. And the bluff along our hill here was all native prairie type of grasses and flowers, not trees, because it was contained by burns. They were burns and grazing with even bison and others. Other animals were maintain this grassy area around here. So what we're trying to do is restore some of that and do our part to take care of the planet, provide spaces for rare tropical birds, and I should say neotropical birds that are migrating along here, like orioles and others, to stop, to feed, also to provide places for pollinators to grow and feed, like bees and butterflies and beetles. So we want to do what we can to take care of this natural environment.
Well, it certainly sounds like you have a lot of things going on, but they're all headed in such a great direction, and we hope people come over and take advantage of all the good things going on at the Great River Road Visitor and Learning Center in Freedom Park in Prescott, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for calling in today. Executive Director Israel Haas, and he invites you all to come. What are your hours again, Israel?
We're going to be changing after Labor Day. After Labor Day, it's Tuesday through Friday, 10 o'clock till, I should say Tuesday through Saturday, 10 o'clock till 5, and Sunday, noon to 5.
Wonderful. We'll see you there. Thank you so much, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.
Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door, where blues won't haunt you anymore, where the